every step of the way, I'm able to refine it and be, again, more intentional. Who am I talking to? Don't just throw a bunch of stuff out there. I used to say this a lot. I used to say, man, wholesaling is super easy. You don't need any money, cash, or credit to do it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams. Today, I'm joined with Sean Young. And Sean and I have been friends on social media for a while. We've connected a little bit in the past, and I've been actually trying to get him on the show for a minute or two. And so I'm stoked to finally have him on the show. He does something called wholesaling for real estate. In short, that means you basically take control of a property, you sell it to somebody else, you make a little spread, and some people never own the property. He's got a podcast about that as well. So he's got a podcast that teaches you how to do real estate. It's called Nationwide Real Estate Mastery. And a couple other cool things about him, his whole bio is in the show notes, but we might be talking a little bit about how does he make his podcast work with his business. And we'll also be talking about some of his other skills, because just like me, he has a virtual assistant agency where he basically places VAs for other people like you. So we might ask him, how is that going to help a podcaster if they don't want to edit themselves, if they don't want to hire a company or whatever? What can a VA do to boost your podcast? So we'll jump into that. Sean, it's good to have you, man. I want to ask you for the very first question. Let's start off here. What was the reason that you decided to start a podcast? I'm asking because you could have done anything. You could have had Facebook ads. You could have had a meetup group. You could have had a book. All of these options. What made you decide that the podcast was the route to go to build your business?
Man, great question, Adam. And thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for having me. I'm sure your listeners are wonderful. So guys, the reason why I started a podcast is because I wanted to get expertise advice out to my audience on topics that I necessarily wasn't the master or expert on. So I figured that the podcast platform would give me that perfect space to allow me to bring on guests, dig deep, see exactly how do they do what they do, and make sure that there's actionable steps in that interview for my audience that listens as well, so they can go out there and take action right away. That was my goal.
So if your goal is to make sure that the listener is getting value, and that's why you launched a podcast, I'm thinking that that's too altruistic. It's too altruistic. It doesn't mean that it's not true that you didn't want that, but I'm hoping that you also get some benefit for yourself. Like, are you getting more deal flow? Are you getting more coaching clients? Are you getting more anything? Are you wanting to learn yourself, but also passing it on to them? Let's just pretend that your first answer doesn't even count. And is there another reason why you decided to start a podcast?
I mean, it's the spirit of reciprocity. I wanted to be a generous expert. I wanted to definitely be a go-giver for sure. And I wanted to figure out how could I make it in a package platform where it really helped people. And it helped me as well. Like you say, I'm not doing anything just for nothing. It's all for some reason or some personal benefit as well. And I definitely get to learn a lot. I get to build great relationships. My coaching business has definitely exploded and picked up. I get a number of clients from sources, from people who never even thought they would come to me, but they heard me because they want to hear their guy who I interviewed about, let's say, mindset. And now they're like, man, this guy who's interviewing, he sounds pretty awesome as well. Let me see what he's about. So it's definitely generated a ton of revenue, 100%. It's helped create great relationships, and it has helped me be more of an expert in my field as well, and an authority.
So, random question. I'm thinking through what you've said, and not specifically looking at the episodes to verify this, but I'll just ask you. Sean, you mentioned a coaching business, and I think that our listener probably has a coaching business. So I want to dive into that. You mentioned that it grew your coaching business. Some people said, hey, I want to hear that person talk about mindset. And so now they're coming to you, they're finding you, you're spreading your word, and you said it's working. So I want to find out, like, if I'm a brand new podcaster and I have a coaching business just like you, or a similar type of thing where I'm coaching, I'm mentoring, I'm consulting on building somebody in this business or that business. For you, it's real estate. Can you help us understand, like, your plan or your direction or how you're being intentional about having the podcast grow the coaching business?
Sure. What I do, guys, is I really don't promote my coaching business too heavily. It's really for exclusive students that, you know, reach out and that we're a good fit for each other. So I don't have a typical like coaching course any longer. I mentor students now. So it's more of a higher dollar level. And those folks who reach out, they're doing so because, again, they're listening to me speak with high level folks in other areas. They understand that I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing. Or if I don't, I say, hey, I stay in my lane and I let them stay in their lane. But this is how we get that information. So I absolutely leverage all the information to grow my coaching business, but it mainly is just to grow relationships with my businesses overall, which is my real estate business, the coaching business, and mainly my virtual assistant company.
Okay. So when you're doing your podcast, Nationwide Real Estate Mastery, do you think you make more money through coaching or your VA business?
Doing the podcast, I'd say I make more with coaching. I make a whole lot more with coaching.
And you also mentioned that you don't really promote it as much. I think that's a direct quote, but it's close enough. You don't really promote it as much. It's not correct. Like the big focus.
Correct.
And oftentimes, like on this show, I always tell the listener, like, if you've got a coaching business, you need to let your listener know. The listener just has to know. And I hope they understand that that doesn't mean we need to be a douchebag about it. We don't need to be shoving it down people's throat. We don't need to be like, oh, if you want to know the rest of that, you've got to join my $1 million coaching company or something like that. But I'm curious, like, where do we draw the line on, or where do you draw the line on? Like, I don't want to bother somebody with it, but I want to make sure that they understand that I can do that in case they need to go to the next step. What do you do to make that happen?
Like the way that I like to do, I mean, that's a great question too, Adam. And the way that I like to position that is when I'm on these shows, again, I'm positioning myself as the generous expert. So I give it all. I don't hold back like secrets or anything like that. I give and pour into as much as I can. When I'm asked a question, I don't try to figure out a way to give everyone like, you know, 90% of the question. I'm keeping 10% of the secret sauce for myself. I don't believe in that. I don't have a scarcity mentality. So whatever I'm doing, I'll share it with you 100%. And that has been the secret to really to my success and to attracting people who have an abundance mindset as well, because they can see like, man, this guy has given so much. Like, I could just imagine if I was a mentor or a student of his, like, what would I get at that point? And you're absolutely right. I go 100% above and beyond for my clients, my students. So that's the experience that they get. They're already getting a taste of it by, you know, checking me out on my podcast.
So tell me again, how do they know that you have the coaching company? How do they know you could help them? When do you mention it and how do you mention it?
Well, I used to mention it all the time. It was all over the place as far as my coaching company. I have changed philosophies on that. And so I've backed away from that. But if you're a person out there that's trying to get a coaching business going, you have got to be your biggest cheerleader. You talk about it as many times as possible. If you have a podcast, you've got to interject it in a way that it's not overshadowing what the guests is there to talk about, or you're not, you know, taking the spotlight off of your guests, but you're able to say, hey, listen, the way that Jeff does that, we have a process that helps people out here do that exact same thing. We'll help you with that process. So we'll interject it in ways where it's not, again, overstepping your guests. And that's important, guys, as a podcast host, is you want to make sure that your guest shines. They're the star, not you. At least that's my opinion.
I like that. Make sure that the guest shines. So I'm going to write that down as well. I've got lots of notes from you, by the way. Make sure guest shines. Good stuff. So you mentioned that you don't do this is the secret sauce, or here's 90% of the stuff, but the rest is reserved for my coaching client. You mentioned that you used to bring up the coaching business more in the beginning of when you started your podcast, and you've done a little over 50 episodes now. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, about how many do you think you always told people?
And this is actually my second season of podcasts. And so I used to host a whole nother podcast for Connected Investors. And I did that for like a year. And I mentioned coaching all the time. So any opportunity I got, I was throwing it out there and mentioning at the beginning of the show, hey guys, if anyone out there is looking to get started with coaching, you need you know, hit me up. At the middle of the show, same thing. End of the show, same thing. So I was always making call to actions of, if you need this, if you're in this predicament, reach out to me. So 100% that's what it is. And it's not that coaching is not something that I'm adamant about or focused on right now. I've just shifted focuses on how I execute that coach at a higher scale for my clients versus bringing in a lot of students. That wasn't my philosophy. My philosophy is have a smaller batch of people that I'm working with, give them a better experience, ensure they hit their goals, and just keep that process rolling.
So when you say your philosophy changed, you mentioned that in your first show, Connected Investor, and I remember that show. That's the one that I really remembered for you. When we got on this call, I was like, okay, I thought it was a different show. But that makes sense because I've known you for a minute. But going back, so you said I was always making calls to action. I was always making CTA. I was mentioning the beginning. I was mentioning the middle. I was mentioning the end. And basically, anytime I had the opportunity. But then you said my philosophy changed. And this is what I'm confused about, or maybe the listener is confused about as well. It's like, when he says his philosophy changed, does that mean you should not be telling people what you do? Because it sounds like what you're telling us, it sounds like, oh, at first I just wanted to get a lot of clients and now I just want a very few amount of clients. But I don't think it's answering the question on, like, on the podcast, when do you mention it? Like, now that the philosophy's changed, why did it change and how did it change? We know that you're not mentioning it beginning, middle, and end, but when do you mention it?
Now, I rarely mention it. I rarely ever mention it now. I rarely ever mention that I do coaching or have coaching students or clients. I may throw it out there in a conversation with my guests, but usually my guests are also coaches or they have particular businesses where it could overlap. And again, I'm not trying to take the spotlight from them. So I'll say things like, hey, when I'm coaching my students, I find that this happens. What do you think? Are you finding that same? So I'll use techniques to remind people that I'm a coach. But again, that's, I don't want to overshadow my coaches who I'm interviewing or people who are out there who have coaching programs. That's not what this is for. So I want them to be that expert and I'm just here to be their guide.
Okay, that's great. And not only is it great, but I think it's really a smart way to do it. So I'm going to basically what I'm hearing you say, I'm going to repeat it to the listener again. So when Sean is doing his podcast, his intention is not to be like forcing anything, but he does something else that I call planting a seed. If you want a big old apple tree and you want all the fruits of that tree as much as you need, you got to start somewhere. You got to start by planting a little teeny tiny seed in the ground, and then you kind of got to water it and nurture it over time. And then it becomes eventually 30 years later, or however long it takes, 5 years, it's this big old apple tree and you're able to get the fruit whenever you want. And his technique to planting the seed is saying this, and please write it down. When I'm coaching my students, fill in the blank, and then you say, what do you think? So you're having an interview with somebody else who might also be a coach. And if it were me doing this, let's just say it's the virtual assistant thing, because Sean's got a VA business, I've got a VA business. I might say something like, a lot of the people that come to me to get a virtual assistant, they think that it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, they don't know how it's going to work, and they find out that it's much easier than they thought. In your business, what have you noticed for people coming? Is it as big of a deal as they thought? Something like that. So that's kind of a good example of what he was saying. And that can get your listener to go and do that next thing. So, hey, my podcasting students come to me and they don't know how this is going to happen. How would you answer that? What would you say to them? And then at least you've planted a seed. And all that means is the listener, your listener, understands or knows that you do a certain type of business. So planting a seed can be a beautiful thing. And you organically bring it out.
Yep, you hit it right on the head. That's it.
Just got more questions with you than I think I normally do. And that's a problem because there's all these questions written down. I'm like, I want to know so much. You mentioned that some people come to listen to their person, their influencer, about something like mindset. That was one of the pieces that you brought up. Mm-hmm. And my question is, your podcast is for nationwide real estate. It's basically for wholesaling, flipping, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I'm curious how you intentionally make the content for your listener so that they can get value, hire you, be better in their business. And it's hard for me to ask this question because it's just like so all over the place. But in a nutshell, it's like, are you niched to a very particular topic, or are you broad and kind of shooting with a rifle and just like keeping it open for lots of people? That's kind of the gist of my question.
Great question. Yeah, we're very specifically in the real estate space. However, folks in the real estate space, they have unique ways on how they've gotten to the real estate space. I ensure that whoever I'm talking to, even if it's someone that's a mindset person, they're still in the real estate space. So we talk about their mindset program on our show, but they've made their money through real estate. They're still real estate investors. They still do this day in and day out. So it makes for a great conversation, a great topic. And it also makes for not a boring topic kind of as well. Everyone, getting instruction is out there. We're in the information age. So being able to learn how to do something is super easy to do. You can find instructions on anything, but it's the delivery of that. So that's why I really love the podcast approach, is that it gives personality to these endeavors that we're going at. So I love bringing on guests who have the personality, the life experience to tell you what they've done, how they've done it, where they failed, and how you can over not run into those exact same pitfalls.
Yeah. You mentioned that you're having interviews with other people. And a lot of the times on this podcast and with my own coaching clients for podcasting, I'll mention that it can be a really good thing to have interviews because it can kind of grow your brand bigger. Because as you already mentioned, they come and listen to their guy about mindset. So you get a new listener, a new follower, even a new client because you've brought on another person as a guest. Because obviously they might share it with their people. On top of that, I mentioned that another beneficial way to do content is to do your solo episode. That means that you're by yourself. Now, there's people that do this one out of every 7 episodes, one out of every 4 episodes, or every other episode, or even every single episode, they will have their own content as a solo interview or a solo episode. And it made me wonder, with you and your podcast, do you focus on doing a combo of both? And if so, what is the balance that you've chosen?
Great question. Again, with this podcast, I'm strictly giving out interviewed content. I do have some solo interviews that I put out, but it's out of the 50 that we've done, I say maybe, and I've got like 20 more to put out. But out of the 50 that we've done so far, like the 53 or 54, I'd say maybe 12 or 13 are just me. I don't focus on that any nowadays because my focus is so all over the place. So I've done so much of that content already that I really want to make. Again, the point of this podcast was to be the generous expert who's giving, planting the seed so that down the line, people are saying, man, this guy, he must know what's going on. He must know what he's talking about so that I'm able again to attract the type of client that I'm looking for my coaching or for my mentorship, as well as for my VA business.
Yeah, cool. Do you ever work with the people that you interview? As have you so far in the 40-ish episodes that you've recorded as interviews, because you've done over 50, and I think you said about a dozen of them are solos. Mm-hmm. But with a 40-ish interviews that you've had, has one of those people joined, even though you're not even focused on it? Like, mm-hmm. It's not the main goal of the podcast. I'm just curious, have any of them, those guests, become clients of yours for the VA company?
Yes, both for coaching and VAs.
Yep. Both. That's pretty cool. So how do you bring up the VA thing
as well?
And referrals, he says. How do you mention the VA business on your podcast?
Well, every business that I feel needs help or needs a team. So I'm always talking about, you know, the need for that and the need for a team. So I figure out what are they doing? And I ask them, hey, do you have help doing that? And usually that 9 times out of 10, most of my guests have a team and they'll say, yeah, I've got a team. I've got Sally who's been doing it in the office, and I've got somebody in Pakistan who's, or wherever they're at. And so that I'll tie right into it on the importance of needing a virtual assistant.
Okay. And you'll say that while the interview is happening in front of the guest and the listener hears it too? Cool.
Yep.
So going back to a question that I started to ask before, but I asked a double question, which is a mistake that I make a lot. So if you're listening and you ever make a double question, guess what happens? Sometimes you only get one of the answers. So I got to go back, and we asked, what is the new philosophy? But if you recall, I asked, why did the philosophy change? What was the catalyst for you to think, hey, I shouldn't just talk about it at the beginning, middle, and end. I should just plant seeds. Why did your philosophy change on that?
It was because I was attracting a lot of the wrong clients. I was getting bogged down with the wrong type of client for myself, and I was the wrong type of coach for that client. So I learned to be more conscious of my avatar. Who was I actually speaking to? Who was I trying to get my point across to? Not just throwing it out there all the time and just throwing things out there, because again, you have to sift through a lot of that. Even if you have a team to help you, it's demoralizing to your sales team to have to go through so many unqualified people as well. So you have to really think about what you're doing and how you're doing it and who your target avatar is. So that was something that I was able to really nail down. And even when I started this new season of podcasting, I didn't do it alone. I had some help from people who are experts in our industry. Darren Bentley, I know you're familiar with Darren. He's super strong in our industry as far as being involved with super good rated podcasts. And he was able to give me some advice as well. And that advice was to be intentional, know who you're speaking to.
Okay, that is beautiful. Let's stick on this for a second. Mm-hmm. Sean's saying that his whole philosophy changed the day that he became more conscious of his avatar. I'm curious, Sean, for you to stop getting unqualified leads, for you to start being intentional every step of the way, when did you learn that? Because we've got listeners that have been podcasting for 2, 3, and 4 years, even 6 years. I've had people come to me and say, I listened to your podcast. I want to hire you. I've been listening for all this time and I've been podcasting for 6 years and I just don't know what I'm doing. Like nothing has happened yet. And it's funny because one of the main things, like step one is to be more conscious of your avatar. Step one is that. And I find that a lot of people messed that up. They had an idea of that person, but they weren't, like Darren said, they weren't intentional. They weren't being intentional. So I want to find out, like, how long did it take you to figure this out? You had one podcast and another podcast. One of your podcasts was up for a year. This podcast has been going for 50 episodes. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to learn that?
It took a couple of years, to be honest with you. And it was before I even started my second season of podcasting, because I took a year off from podcasting. And I learned this through the enormous amount of content that I put out on social media. I've got YouTube channel, 5,000 so subscribers. I've been putting out stuff on there for a long time. So I was able to learn a lot there. I've got like 3,000 TikTok subscribers. I was able to be more refined there and maximize it there. So every step of the way, I'm able to refine it and be, again, more intentional. Who am I talking to? Don't just throw a bunch of stuff out there. I used to say this a lot. I used to say, man, wholesaling is super easy. You don't need any money, cash, or credit to do it. Like, it's kind of true that's true to an extent, but if you're trying to build a true business, not just get a deal, but if you're trying to build a business, I had to be more honest about how that really looked. And by doing so, it started to deter people who were looking at our industry as a get rich overnight type of industry. And I started to attract more of the people who were saying, man, this seems like a viable business that I could invest in and invest my time, energy, and effort and finances and see a return. So
I appreciate that about you, Sean. I appreciate that about you. And I'm hoping that the listener is getting the message here that many people, they might have this podcasting so flipping easy. All you got to do is this and this. Or they might have one about wholesaling. Oh, you don't need cash or credit. Like, you could just start this thing and like it's going to build up and you'll be a millionaire next week. And so like we have all of these people that are, a good way to say it is, over promising and under delivering. They want to attract everybody. And so they get people to come and pay them, let's just say $5,000. It doesn't matter the amount. Let's say they pay them $5,000. They learn the thing and then they don't do shit.
Do shit. I'm glad you said that.
So it's like, because they think when we attract the people that want the $1 million overnight, they also think that it's not work. It's not effort. They don't put enough time and attention. They're going to be the person who tries it for like a week or a month. Yep. But they don't have persistence or determination. Behind you, you've got some signs, and one of them says persistence.
Yep.
And we've got these people that join when we make it sound easier than it really is. We have people that come and pay us, and sure, you made a dollar. Okay, good for you. You made a dollar. You made $5,000, whatever. But you didn't serve anyone. You didn't help anyone go to the next level. All you had them do is just pay $5,000 to not go to the next level. So I want to commend you, Sean, and I'm hoping again that the listener is getting this. When we have our podcast content, you have been really careful to be honest and upfront about this can be a viable business if you build it right, instead of just send out 500 letters and tomorrow you're going to triple the money that you invested with me.
Exactly.
I appreciate that about you. Thank
absolutely,
you.
Brother. I appreciate that you pointed that out and that you see that, because so many people in our space, they get discouraged, man, because they're set up for failure from the beginning, because they're just not told what it really takes to be successful in our industry. They're focused on deals from day one. And I tell all of my students, hey, let's focus on consistency. Consistency will build momentum, and momentum will create your results that you're looking for. And you just mentioned that about being consistent. That's what this is all about, guys. You got to do this you got to be dedicated even when you're not motivated, because you're not going to be motivated every day. But if you're dedicated, you're going to see the results, I promise you.
So I recently went from dad bod to six pack abs. Okay. So this was like a transformation over like 2 years.
Nice.
And people came up to me and they said things that really hurt my feelings. They said, "Oh, you've got such great genetics." They said, "Oh, I wish I had your motivation." And it's like, dude, you don't understand. I don't always want to get in an ice bath. I don't always want to go to the gym. I don't always want to do my sauna at night instead of this other thing. I don't always want to skip the alcohol when I go out on a date. I don't always want to eat, to meal prep three of my four meals per day. So they're just like already prepped and ready to go. I don't always want to eat that boring stuff. It's not about motivation. It's about dedication. It's about like being focused on something. And you mentioned the same thing. Like, people think you've got it good because of your genetics. You've got it good because you're so smart. You've got it good because you already have a network. You've got it good because your mom handed some money to you. You've got it good. And it's like, if all you do is be persistent, execute, have perseverance, never quit, be consistent, like Sean's saying, this is the secret to success. Not how smart you are, not how what a thing you paid for. It comes down to your core. It's being consistent, being diligent, even when you don't want to, even when you don't feel like it. So that's really good. I want to talk about virtual assistants and how can a VA help our podcast agency or other company. Mm-hmm. We'll do that after these messages. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with Sean Young from Nationwide Real Estate Mastery, and he's got virtual assistant company, and he has identified six things that your virtual assistant could do for you to be able to help you with your podcast. So let's go into these six things. And Sean, I put them in the show notes. I know you gave them to me, but I wrote them down. That way you don't have to get lost. I'm sure you won't, indeed. I did it just as a precautionary. So let's talk about these six things that a VA could do for us in our podcast.
Nice. Well, first thing we're going to get into, guys, is editing, guys. You'll get discouraged trying to edit these podcasts yourself and get the sound right and make sure that it's up to standards to, you know, for the other podcasts that are out there on Apple or Spotify, wherever you hear podcasts for. So make sure that you have someone who can do that for you. And a virtual assistant is, they do it for me. So another one is—
Wait, let's stay on that for a second before we go to number two. Mm-hmm. So editing is beneficial. My team averages about 15 hours per episode that we spend with audio editing, video editing, graphics, and all these other random pieces that they'll do for people. Mm-hmm. They say it takes them about 15 hours. And so that could be a lot. And I want to go back to your wholesaling business. Mm-hmm. If it took you, let's just say 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, it doesn't matter. If it took you 10 hours, that's a quarter of your whole week. And let's just say you're able to make sure two deals a week happen. But that 10 hours, that 15 hours that you went away, you left your wholesaling business, Sean, for those 10, 12 hours so that you could edit your own, because you either say that you wanted it or wanted to edit, you love editing, or you're like, I don't have enough money to pay someone to edit. I don't have $100 to pay someone or whatever it costs you, $50, $100, $200. I don't want to spend that $200. So instead, I'm going to not do my wholesaling business for 12 hours. What would that cost you?
Guys, it costs you a lot. All right. So let me dead into the camera. It will cost you a lot. All right. Do not do that. You don't want to take your foot off the gas of one business to do another business. You only want to do another business or another venture when that venture that you already are in currently can run successfully without you being a part of it. That's when you move into a new avenue. If not, you'll find yourself spread thin and you have to make these decisions like Adam is saying. Should I take 10, 12 hours out of my real estate just to edit this one video that might not even come out right?
So let's just say if you lost one wholesale deal every week because you spent 12 hours editing, what would that add up to be financially, you think?
Guys, we're looking at, for our numbers, that's $40,000 to $100,000 that's gone because we couldn't delegate our time because we did our business as a disservice and spent our time on things like editing videos. So now our whole team is suffering.
Interesting. Yeah. Wholesaling can be lucrative if you're doing it right. So it's like, definitely don't take your eye off the ball. So number one, you're saying that is editing, and you got six here. The second one you're about to get to is
graphics, guys, graphics, getting those nice thumbnails, because we also put our podcasts out on YouTube as well. So we want to make sure our thumbnails are in place. We put them out on all social media platforms. So having those graphics be in place and having them look up to par is going to be important.
So having graphics, now the virtual assistant could be the one who creates those digital assets for each episode.
Yep, 100%.
Awesome. And so you don't have to do it. I will recommend this place called Canva. It can be good if you have a virtual assistant, and it can be good if you are doing it yourself. It can help it be a little bit faster, but that you can templatize like your thumbnails, your promo images and things like that. But even if you have a virtual assistant, you can still have them using Canva to kind of support. Absolutely. It's just an inexpensive way to do it. So number one, your virtual assistant could edit your podcast. Number two, they could create the graphics. Mm-hmm. Third, what will they do next?
Upload it, guys. Who is going to get this podcast out there to your listeners for you? Somebody's got to do it and make sure that it hits all platforms. Let a virtual assistant handle that for you as well. Let that be one of the tasks that they handle for you.
I remember I had my first podcast. It was about real estate. It ended up being a fun thing. And then I sold it about 3.5 years ago. And during the beginning 300 episodes, I kept learning this part that you're talking about, like editing and the graphics. But then it's trying to go and upload it because I kept having a problem that would stress me out and take away from my actual business, which was real estate. And that was when I tried to upload it. Sometimes it wouldn't upload to every platform. And I got people saying, hey, it doesn't look like you've published in a few months. And I'm like, no, we publish every week. And they're like, well, I'm on Spotify, or I'm on Apple, or I'm on Google, or I'm on name the podcast playing platform. I kept messing it up and I kept having to get distracted in the middle of my workday. So it can be a huge blessing, a benefit, if you got somebody whose main job is the podcast, so that you don't have to be freaking out about it, like, and getting stopping in the middle of your workday just to figure out, okay, why didn't it go to Spotify this time? Why isn't it there? Good stuff. Okay. Editing, graphics, uploading. And the fourth one.
Finding guests. I have my team finds my guests for me, guys. So I'm in a network, so I know a lot of people. And I've got a good network, so I can find guests, but there's people who I've never met before. And those are one of my VAs found those. We have a list that we go through on how we find potential guests for us. And she reaches out, schedules them, gets them on board, make sure they're a good match for our audience and gets them on board.
That really does a couple of things, it sounds like. So if they're finding your guests for you, like you said, I already know a few people. I've got a good network, but here's the thing. You already know them. You're not really adding to your network if you just keep networking with just the people that you already met. If you just go in your immediate family and you network with your mom and your dad and your sister and your brother, that it's just going to stop there. So to Sean's point, if you have somebody helping you find guests, A, it's going to take some time and effort off of you so you can focus on your business. And B, you're going to be able to grow your network even faster because you're getting in front of people that you didn't already know. So editing, graphics, upload, find guest. What's number five?
Social media marketing. How are you going to advertise? Do you advertise? How are you going to let people know you got a new episode out? Basic things like that. Those are things and tasks that a VA can handle for you as well.
I love that. with my company, Grow Your Show, if we are editing somebody's, we automatically publish it on up to 3 social media platforms. So Facebook or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that helps them. That helps the podcaster to be able to get staying in front of people. I call it being the squeaky wheel, because out of the 4 wheels, if one of them's squeaking, you're going to stop and you're going to grease that wheel. But the other 3 will get neglected because they're just not making the noise. And you can be making the noise by going on all the platforms, and it can be automated by having a team do it or your own virtual assistant, making sure that the social media posts on however many platforms you choose, whether it's TikTok or Facebook or you name it, stays in front of your people so they always know that you've got that podcast. You're more likely to have people share your podcast with their friend. You're more likely to have them listen in because they keep seeing you. And that's all by staying in front of them. That was 5. And 6, Sean?
Is having someone that can reach out to your guests, email your guests. So again, that's something that you can't. These are all $3 to $10, $12 an hour activities at the highest, right? You have to ask yourself, what is my time worth? Do I have the time to do this? You just don't. You absolutely do not. Unless this is the only thing that you're doing, your other businesses are crushing it, they're operating without you, you have the time to invest in this, don't do it, guys, because podcasting is a business. It's a business in itself. And if you treat it as not a business, it's going to be tough to see success and to get the traction and momentum that you need. The algorithms or the algorithm gods, I don't know who controls this, but they'll just see you as someone who's doing it for fun, and you won't get the push and the promotion that you need from that side of it as well.
I've got 2 final questions. Mm-hmm. And the penultimate question is, what does it look like to work with you? So if our listener mm-hmm. hears that they could get a virtual assistant, it is $3, $10, $12 an hour mm-hmm. work. They shouldn't be doing it. They should be letting someone else do it so they can focus on making their $40,000 a month or $100,000 a month by getting that 12, 15 hours back.
Yep.
What would it look like to find you and hire you?
Well, guys, if you are looking for a professionally trained virtual assistant, you can head to reiworldsolutions.com. Let me know that you heard me on today's show with Adam, and I'll take care of you for sure. The team is going to take care of you for sure, but I'll make sure that I take care of you and ensure that you get the red carpet treatment 100%.
Well, give us more. Let us know, like, what does onboarding look like? How do we get assistant? About approximately how much do we pay? Who do we pay? Do we pay you? Do we pay the VA?
Nice.
What would it look like if we were to hire a virtual assistant with you?
Yes, let's jump into it, guys. So the first thing is that you're going to pay a one-time registration fee of $4.99. After you pay that fee, you're good. You're good to go. You'll have what's called a strategy session. That's where we sit down with you, determine what you do, what do you need to be done. We figure it out. Then we match those needs to the skill set of our VAs. It's not a cookie cutter process. We don't just give you anybody. We match it up to our VAs. It takes about 48 hours to do that. After that point, we have a VA client handoff session where we hand off the VA to you. You get to meet the VA's trainer, and the VA's manager. We explain to you how you're going to make your payments each week. We explain to you how we help you monitor your VA and how we actually act as your HR department. So it's a great process for you. Very simple to use, very easy. Our VAs are $9 per hour, minimum of 20 hours per week. You can hire as many as you want. You can make a switch at any time you want for whatever reason. You're never going to be left without a VA. So let's say like you're used to hiring VAs and someone says, hey, I'm sick for a week. No, you're not going to be left without the VA for a week. We've got backup contingencies in place. You'll never be left in a predicament where your VA is saying, hey, I can't get internet connection or any of these things. All the troubles, we've solved all those problems. We've solved all those problems, and we've made it so that you can just focus on growing your business as you should be focusing on, not worrying about if your VA has internet connection or all these other weird things that happens when
you hire VAs. So basically, they pay you, your company, every month, and you make sure that they have a VA on their side rather than paying a VA, the particular VA. It goes straight through your company and you hand hold the whole way.
100%.
Last question is, what information do you think that a podcaster, a brand new podcaster who's just getting into this business, what do you think they need to know?
They need to know who their audience is, who you're talking to. What do you want to accomplish with this podcast? Is it monetary? Is it exposure? Is it network? Whatever it is, make sure that you know up front what your goals are so that you're not kicking the can down the road and you look up, you're like, what is this? What am I doing this for? Like, what is the point? Like, you don't want to find yourself in that position. So know up front, what is the purpose?
Know up front what your goals are, what the purpose is. It's like, begin with the end in mind. Yep. It makes me think of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Ready, yep, aim, book. Fire, not ready, fire, aim. Begin with the end in mind. Have a good idea of what you want to accomplish. And the big takeaway that you said in the beginning of today's episode and at the very, very, very end of the episode, both was know who your avatar is. Understand who you're talking to. Make it intentional. You talked about how you promote your coaching business, how you used to do it, what made the change, how you changed it. You talked about not being a good thing to give 90% of the secret sauce, but holding back the 10% of the secret sauce. You talked about making sure that your guest is the one who shines when you have an interview. You also mentioned that if you're coaching, then you should be your biggest cheerleader. You should let people know how you can help them. You talked about another way of planting a seed where you mentioned, and I quote you, when I'm coaching my students, fill in the blank, and then ask your guest, what do you think? We talked about how you do about 4 to 5 times is the amount of interviews as you do solos. So maybe approximately 1 in 5 happens to be a solo episode. You talked about what turned you around is being more conscious about the avatar, getting intentional. You even mentioned that it took you a couple of years. You talked about how your social media is there and even you have 5,000 followers on your YouTube channel. Talked about the difference between telling people that this is the easiest business, you're going to be a millionaire tomorrow versus, hey, this is work. But if you put in the right systems and you have persistence, determination, perseverance, and you execute right, it's going to be successful. And then we talked about the 6 things that a virtual assistant could do. And if you'd like to find Sean's company, reiworldsolutions.com is already down in the show notes. So you could check that out. He talked about your VA could 1, edit, 2, do the graphics, 3, upload the podcast for you, 4, they could find your guests, 5, they could do your social media, 6, they could email your guests on your behalf. Sean, thank you for this interview. I hope we can do this again. To the listener, the next episode is going to be one of those solo episodes. I do every other episode's a solo episode, and I think that's going to be important for you. I picked out something special for you this week. I'll see you on the next episode.
You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this and I feel horrible because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first 6 episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.